Softball and baseball are both preparing to host their first home games of the season. Another Bulldog record is on the verge of being eclipsed, and unlike Santa Ana, the Concordia shooting team had a quite successful expedition to Texas. Hello and welcome to episode 38 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter, here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how's it going?
It's going pretty good today, Cohen. It's absolutely gorgeous outside. I don't know what's happening in Nebraska in March, but I won't complain about it.
We survived second winter. That's what the locals call it, I think.
That is what we call it. So I think we might be going on to third winter pretty soon.
Yeah.
But hopefully not. Hopefully it stays warm.
Yeah, right now we're just enjoying second spring.
Yeah, or else, I don't know, baseball, softball, they don't like to play in the cold.
They don't like to play in the cold.
So we can't afford them to cancel any games because this is the only home games we're going to have all season.
Yeah, they can finally start to get the home schedule going. But yeah, it's an awesome time of year, just generally. The sky is awesome, feels great outside. March Madness opening day was yesterday. Vibes are at an all-time high. Vibes are at an all-time high for us, too, in the podcast, but also for the baseball team.
Yes, the baseball team is flying high right now.
Oh my goodness. Have you been keeping up with this on Twitter? It was just this Doan series is all we've missed, but
yes, I didn't look at Twitter, but I did see the results of it.
Yeah, no, it's stats galore. That's why you're here, for the results. Baseball, 18-8 on the season. 6-2 in the GPAC. Still ranked number 21. Their recent series since our last episode was Doan, clash of kind of the GPAC Titans. We broke this down a little bit on our last episode, but Concordia and Doan are responsible for all GPAC titles since 2021, just two juggernauts at the top of the conference. Concordia is ranked 21st going into this matchup. Doan was ranked 26th, however, that may be dropping. You'll see why in a bit. Spoiler alert, these are the two highest ranked GPAC teams, although I want a formal investigation launched into Morningside because they are number one in the GPAC standings and they have the best offense in the GPAC per statistics. Like if you just look at OPS, and they have the best team pitching. I don't know what's up there. We haven't played them yet.
Uh-uh.
So I haven't done the breakdown on the Morningside Mustangs. However, they, in their last coaches poll, were the last team to have received votes. They only received like 7 votes, whereas Doan received like 78.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. The stats do not comport with how good they've had of a season. So maybe that'll be rectified this next time.
So they might be being underrated a little bit.
I think so, but we play them in Seward here in the next couple of weeks, so we will be able to find out soon. However, back to this Doan matchup. Concordia has a 9.69 team OPS, which is second in the GPAC behind Morningside, and Doan has a 4.45 team ERA, which is second in the GPAC behind Morningside. So, kind of battle of the strikes there. The head honcho over at the Doan in their roster, guy named Caden Crawford, he's their best pitcher, 2.29 ERA, 31 strikeouts across 35 and a third innings pitched, and obviously our guy, I had to throw him in here just to show him some love, Jaden Quinn. Everybody knows Jaden Quinn. Here's some stats. 12 home runs, 36 RBIs. He's batting .325 on the year. Not too shabby. So we got the series. Two doubleheaders. The first doubleheader coming Saturday, March 22nd. The last away game in a long stretch of away games for the Bulldogs. Game one, Tigers 1-2 win. This was a 7-inning shortened game. And guess who was on the bump for the Doan Tigers? It was Caden Crawford, their ace. He got the – this was honestly the matchup that lived up to the building. Crawford got his 4th win of the season. They're not undefeated in his starts, but every time that Crawford has gotten a decision, he has won. He's 4-0 on the season. This time was no different. He pitched a 7-inning complete game, only giving up 5 hits, 1 earned run. He walked 2, struck out 5. However, for the Bulldogs, we had Alex Johnson on the mound, wily veteran, who is 2nd in the GPAC with a 1.98 ERA, by the way, so he's having himself quite the start to the season. He got the start for the Bulldogs. Didn't do too shabby either. 6.6 2/3 innings pitched. Gave up 6 hits. 1 earned run. 1 was unearned. 3 walks. And he struck out 10. So that is a rough stat line to get your second loss on the season on. He's now 3-2 on the year. However, Brad Hollick highlighted the Bulldog offense. He was their best hitter. And in a game where the Bulldogs only had 5 total hits, going 2-for-3 with a 2nd-inning home run to left field, not too shabby for the DH. However, you got to flush that one. Game 2, right afterwards, same day. Bulldogs win this one 9-4. They were down 4-1 through 6 innings. This was a highly contested contest, despite what the final score may say, but they put up 6 runs in the top of the 7th.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Christian Gutierrez starred for the Bulldogs on the mound. He got the start, and he moved to 4-2 on the year, going 8 innings pitched, 9 hits, 4 earned runs, walked 1, 5 strikeouts. So he went deep into the game, but he had his fair share of base runners, able to work his way out of a few pinches there. There were 3 Bulldogs in this game with 2 hits: Jaden Quinn, Brad Hulick, and Tanner Tompkins. Hulick stood out again. All 3 of those guys homered, by the way. Brad Hulick, so last game, he had our only run with a solo home run.
Mm-hmm.
This game, Brad Hulick, 2 for 5, 3 RBIs with 2 home runs. So just keep that in mind.
Decent stat line for him so far.
We've got home run, and a home run in two games. 3 home runs, 2 games. That takes us to Sunday, March 23rd, another doubleheader. Game 3, the Bulldogs win 14-7. We double them up. Bulldogs got ahead early in the first game. 2 runs in the first, 6 runs in the second. However, Doan did not go quietly into that good night. They raged against the dying of the light. Micah Sweetin got the start for the Bulldogs. He went 5 innings pitched, 9 hits, 5 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. He ended up getting the win. Not his best start of the season, but it's kind of funny. That's baseball sometimes, because we talked about, I think it was his start 2 outings ago, and he went like 7 innings, only gave up 2 runs. This one, less than ideal. You give up 9 hits, 2 walks, you have 11 base runners, 5 of them score on you, but he gets the win. That's baseball. Doan did make it close, though, against Sweetin when they kind of chased him out of the game there. They scored 2 in the 4th, 1 in the 5th, and 2 in the 6th. However, Dayton Schmidt came into the game, shut it down in the bottom of the 7th, his 4th save of the season. He went 1 1/3, only walked 1, struck out 1. He faced 5 batters, only allowed that 1 base runner with the walk. Matthew Rhodes, have a day. Was it 2 games ago he had 8 RBIs?
It was 8, yep.
Was that the number? Okay, because that's what I thought it was. I want to make sure I'm not lying here. So just a week after hitting for 8 RBIs, 4 for 6, 3 runs, 6 RBIs,
oh my
2
gosh.
Homers. 2 homers. So he said to us, and I think he said to you,
yep.
I want to steal credit, that he had a lot more in the tank. And this is coming off of a Freshman of the Year in the GPAC Award, by the way.
Wasn't it nationally?
I think it may have been
nationally.
I think it may have been nationally. So coming off of that season, and he's like, hey, I've got more in the tank. I'm tending to believe him.
He's showing it now.
He's had a really good season. I think it's Brad Hulick, Matthew Rhodes, and Jaden Quinn are the top 3 home run hitters in the GPAC right now. Also, I think those are the top 3 RBI getters in the GPAC right now. So just great production from the top of the offense. Talking about that top of the offense, top of the lineup, Brad Hulick again with another homer. He went 1 for 4. He walked twice, and a two-run home run with 2 RBIs is a pretty good way to put a cherry on top of your day. So Brad Hulick, he's just a homer monster in this series. That takes us to game 4. Bulldogs win 10-0. They finally put it all together. Blowout through and through. Bulldogs had a hit in 8 of the 9 innings this game, and they scored in 6 of the 9 innings. Concordia had 13 hits. Doan had 2. Braxton Greenberg was responsible for that. He got the start and his 2nd win of the season. 7 2/3 innings. He gave up those 2 hits. No earned runs, no walks. Those were the only 2 base runners were those 2 hits. And a career high 13 strikeouts for
wow.
Mr. Greenberg. He faced 27 batters, and he struck out just a little less than half of them. In fact, there were only 2 batted balls that were fly balls in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So insane ground ball percentage. You like to see that from one of your starting pitchers. Amazing performance from Greenberg, and for the offense too. 10 different Bulldogs reached base. Here's a quick run through of some stats. Ty Nikolajczyk, 3 for 5. We know he gets hits, but he also had 2 RBIs because he hit a home run. Good to see some pop from the second baseman. Jaden Quinn doing Jaden Quinn things. He went 2 for 3, 2 RBIs. He was walked, and he had 2 home runs. And now, drumroll, Brad Hulick. Here's his stat line for the 4th game. 2 for 4, 1 RBI, 1 walk, no home runs.
No,
so
ruined it.
He almost had the perfect series home run in each game. But he had the 2 home run game in game 2, so it equalizes. So 4 home runs.
Definitely.
He had
4
home runs
over
4 games. Well, okay.
Solid weekend.
We'll say he did okay. We'll say he did okay.
He had an all right game.
But talking about all right game, that 13 strikeout performance from Braxton Greenberg earned him the GPAC Pitcher of the Week.
Sweet.
He had that amazing outing against Northwestern where he goes 5 innings and he strikes out 7, and then he goes over 7 innings against Doan and strikes out 13. Well deserved there. Also, I don't think Brad Hollick got the nod, which is insane because he had a crazy series. Mm-hmm. But oh well, you can't win them all, I guess. That's the end of the series. That is, we're firmly entrenched into GPAC play now. We've played our few teams now. But that leads us to the part of the show that everyone is anticipating, on the edge of their seat for, Jaden Quinn home run tracker. So after this Doan series, he is at 12 on the season.
Wait, so I win. I win the bet.
What was your, oh yeah, yeah.
It was 11.5, and I said, I took the over.
Oh, dude, he got it
barely.
Good thing there was no money on it because we're good Lutherans. Mm-hmm. We didn't put any money on that bet.
No sports betting.
I am out nothing.
You are out pride though.
I am out. Yeah, you got bragging rights. Okay, back to Jaden Quinn. I need a pick me up. Here's my pick me up. His career tally now up to 85 homers, and the magic number is 88 to tie his buddy.
We should see that in the next couple weeks then.
Yeah, and it may be coming up today. Today I will be working. I'll be at the Waldorf game. It is a doubleheader. 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. is the two games today against Waldorf. And then they play again the 30th, so 2 days from now on Sunday. That is against, I want to say, Briarcliff. I'm not entirely sure, but either way, it'll be at Plum Creek Park. Finally getting some home games under their belt. This is actually March 28th will be the home opener for the Bulldogs.
That's crazy.
At Plum Creek Park.
I think both the men, the baseball team and softball team, will be there.
Yeah, so just stupid. It's over, well over half the season. They're finally getting a home game. But should be exciting stuff, and I think all of Seward will have their eye on Jaden Quinn, seeing if he can go for the all-time NAIA home run in a career record. It's crazy that we're talking about this in back-to-back years.
That is nuts.
Like, that is so nuts.
We were talking about Joey last year.
Joey Gabranski was the big thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, he's going to break it. Now, a year later,
his teammate's going to break it.
I guess we didn't have a lot of foresight because Jaden Quinn, just looking at his totals, he had 72 up until this, or yeah, 70, 73 home runs was his career total coming into this season.
We should have known this was going to happen.
Anyone who's looking at the stats could be like, oh yeah, if he has another 20 home run season, he's going to have the... He's going to have the record.
If he keeps doing what he's been doing.
Okay, here's the thing. Do we amend what we're watching for then? Because he's at 85 right now.
Do we go for 100?
He needs 88 to tie. That's a nice assumption that he gets it, right? I mean, just look at this Doan series. I think he had 3 or 4 in this Doan series along with Bradley Hollick. So, let's go for triple digits.
Let's do 100. Let's set a new record, a big record. First one to triple digits.
So okay, if he's at 85 now and
he needs 15 more.
He needs 15 to get to triple digits.
Surely he has 15 games left.
He needs what's 12 plus 15?
27.
27. That's literally what he hit last year.
Okay. That's easy.
All right, okay.
He's got it.
Not that we're already overlooking Joey Gabranski, which was like the talk of the town last season, was that he got this massive record. But now, okay, assuming he gets the record, this is exciting. This could come down that, like, this is a number two that could come down to the wire.
It really could. It could be how far they make it at the national tournament.
Yeah, this could determine this. Okay, we're changing the name of the Jaden Quinn home run tracker to the Jaden Quinn chasing 100. I'm down for that.
Me too. This will be a fun watch.
Fun watch for sure. Talking about fun watches that keeps you on the edge of your seat, this softball team kind of up and down a little bit recently, huh?
It's been a little bit interesting, yeah. So they've had two different series since our last episode. They played Dakota Wesleyan and Hastings over the last week. And a bit of a theme that's been coming out over these last couple games is very inconsistent hitting. And by inconsistent, I don't mean bad all the time, just bad sometimes and really good other times. It seems like the first game, they usually hit poorly, and then by the second game, they've kind of gotten into the swing of things, and then they can put teams away. So just for an example, their first game against Dakota Wesleyan, they lost 3-2. So
who's on the mound? Just some for observation. Who's on the mound for Dak West in game one?
Ernsberg.
Ernsberg? Okay. I'm tucking that away. Continue. Okay.
And then we do have different pitchers for the second game.
Do they have different pitchers as well?
Yes, both teams.
So it's not Earnsberg?
No, it is not.
Okay, interesting. Because my theory there was going to be if we're hitting better in the second game, maybe they're throwing the same pitcher out there back-to-back, and we just have a chance to see a few of her pitches.
Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's so yeah, that so is first game they had one girl, Earnsberg. Second game they had two different ones, a Kirkchill and a Woolwine. So their first pitcher only ended up pitching two innings, gave up 8 runs on 9 hits, walked one, and then Woolwine came in for the last 5 and gave up 2 runs and 1 walk. So they kind of swapped out their first one, and then
yeah.
We're doing a little bit better, but still 10 runs on the game, coming back from a 2-run loss. And the big runs ended up being the difference because we also gave up 8 runs in that game.
Yeah, no, that's huge. It's huge on the stretch.
Yeah, and then looking to that Hastings game, 0 scored in the first game. We lost 4-0. Okay. And then in the second game, we put up 11.
That is so... Okay, so
11-5.
Pitchers there, they changed him.
So pitchers for Hastings, it was just 1 Brack for Hastings in the first game. Pitched all 7. And then in the second game, they used 3 different pitchers. Sits for the first 3 innings, who gave up 5 runs. Then Lockhart for 2, who gave up 5 runs. And then Beavers, who gave up 1 run in 1 inning.
Sure.
So
for baseball, it's like you have a rotation, right? You get like 5 guys. In college, it's different. But I'm speaking from like MLB terms. You get like 5 guys, and you rotate them, and it's their day. But softball, you have your ace, who probably pitches about... What did you say? Like 75% of the season's pitches,
mm-hmm.
But it seems on double headers they start dipping into the bullpen a bit.
A little bit, yes. So yeah, it seems like first game they're going with one girl for the whole game.
Yeah.
Both teams, and then for the second one they're putting someone else in there, and then if it's not going well they'll switch it out for someone else.
So then the theory there being that we're obviously having a harder time hitting the best pitcher.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Presumably that game one pitcher would be the. Their ace,
mm-hmm.
And they, you know, they'd have the better stuff, the better looks, and the better pitches.
Yes, and Megan Urich, who's our ace, played all but one of those games. So she started and played the whole game in both of the first matches. So the first one against Dakota Wesleyan, and the first one against Hastings.
Okay.
And then in the second game, she came in for the last about inning and a half. Kaylee Dennison gave up 6 runs in 5 innings, and then Megan came in and gave up 2 runs in 1 to kind of close that game out, 10-8. And then in the final game against Hastings, it was Kaylee Dennison for the whole time, gave up 5 runs off 12 hits in the 7 innings.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, but it's just weird how it's so up and down. I wonder what, like, I'm sure this is, you know, something being discussed within the COVID coaching staff right now, but there's got to be some sort of reason, you know?
Yes, you'd think so. And, okay, you know, one thing we were talking about with the baseball team is they sometimes have higher hits than they have, or higher runs than they have hits.
They see the ball pretty well, yeah.
That is not as much the issue with this softball team. They actually hit quite well. It's the finishing the plays off that's a bit of the issue.
That's a common
issue. So in that 2-run loss, they end up getting 7 hits. So 2 runs off 7 hits.
Yeah, you're just leaving a lot on base there.
Yes.
Does it have a left on base number? Sometimes if you look at like the box score next to the... You go runs, hits, errors, LOB.
Yes, LOB. We had 9.
Yeah. Oh,
in that,
are
in
you
that
kidding?
In that 2-3 loss.
That's crazy.
And then in that.
Ooh. Yeah. That's like. I think one of the biggest differentiators between like good teams and great teams,
mm-hmm.
is when you get a runner in scoring position, is able to plate them.
And then if you look at that 10-8 win, 10 runners left on
base. Yeah, that's nuts. That's nuts.
That. Okay, shocking one. The 0 score game. We had 4 hits, but 8 left on base.
Man, so we're
so
getting
lots on. Lots of runs on the table, and then in that 11-5 game, we were doing a little bit better at that. 13 hits, 11 runs, 5 left on base.
Yeah, that's better.
So, yeah, pretty solid performance hitting-wise in that respect. The scoring and the RBIs, they've been pretty spread out throughout the whole team. There's not really one who you're looking at every single game. She's the girl who's doing really well. Obviously, 2 of the games, no one really hit well. But in that 10 run game, we had Hannah Bowers get 3 runs and 3 RBIs, so she led the team in that respect. Aubriana Kreiser, she got 2 RBIs and 1 hit. And then in that 11-5 win, we only had Aubrey Brunning with 2 RBIs and then 1 run, and then everyone else was getting about 1 RBI.
Interesting.
So we don't really have that star hitter necessarily, but everyone's getting the job done.
Yeah, yeah, until they aren't, until you're... You
right, in the games when it's working, it's everyone getting one or two hits, maybe three, like Kylie Schottenkirk in that 11-5 win. She ended up getting three runs off just one hit, so she was getting walked quite a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been just a little bit inconsistent.
It's peculiar.
And it seems like there's not really that one person who, whenever things aren't going well, they're coming up with a home run or a big hit. It's either the team's doing well or the team's not doing very well.
I'd be interested to see how we're hitting with runners in scoring position. I know that's a pretty common stat for like MLB and higher level baseball. I doubt they put it in the box scores on the baseball or softball games that we have. I don't know. If you see RISP, that's what that is.
I do not see any RISP, unfortunately. Yeah.
I think that's a good tell of a team because you know, when you get a runner on second or when you get a runner on third, and you've got you know, someone with speed on first, although it's not in scoring position, but you know, similar thing there. It really changes the approach of how you approach an at bat.
Yeah.
And I think really great team, and this is where you'd kind of like, you know, one of the girls like Schottenkirk or one of the big names on this team to have games where they do take over.
Yes.
It's nice to be even keeled throughout your lineup. But if you've got, like, the reason superstars are superstars, or the reason, and I'm going to talk about superstars, the reason, like, good players are good players, or great players are great players, is because they're able to change their approach when the situation demands it.
Right.
They're not pigeonholed into one way of playing the game.
Mm-mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that approach changes as the season goes on.
Yeah, and the one consistent part about this team, though, has been Megan Jurich. She's been solid from the mound the entire week. We were talking about
insane.
she got that GPAC Pitcher of the Week a couple weeks back. She's eclipsed 400 career strikeouts. In the two games she started, she had 6 strikeouts in each of them.
Program record, I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
I think she broke the career strikeout records last season. I could be wrong. She either broke the career strikeout records last season or she broke strikeouts in a season last season. She's just crazy good.
So she's very good, yeah. So she's not giving up many runs. The ones that she's giving up, usually they are earned runs, but overall just solid performance from her. In that game where she came in the relief role, she struck out one as well, allowed 3 hits. So yeah, she's been extremely consistent, the senior. And then Kaylee Dennison's getting the job done in that relief role. She's been starting a couple games and doing a solid job as well.
Yeah. So pitching, I don't think really was ever the thing that stood out, especially the front end pitching for this
right.
team.
It's all about, can we get the offense to back up the good
offense.
Pitching?
Yeah.
And then we've got that the softball team is also going to be at home this week for their season opener, and they are going to be playing against Briarcliff. We're recording this on Friday, so it's going to be today at 3 and 5, and then April 2nd, it's going to be against Midland at home at 4 and 6.
Okay, all right, book your calendars.
So looking forward to seeing some softball starting about 2 hours.
Yeah, finally back in Plum Creek Park. Took them long enough, right?
Yes, definitely.
All righty. So, talking about returning to home, the shooting team has returned to Seward. After a very successful expedition. Did you get my reference in the open? Is that a Texas thing?
I think it might be a Texas thing. Okay. I thought it was funny, but I didn't get it.
Yeah, well, I saw you laugh, but then you didn't... Well, I saw you smile, but you didn't laugh.
It was funny the way you said it,
so
but I didn't really get it.
It half landed.
Yeah.
Santa Anna was the guy that the Texans beat in the Texans Revolution.
Okay.
So, yeah. He actually, famously, he invented rubber. Funny story.
How'd he do that?
This is a quick side note.
A little history lesson from Cohen.
Yeah. This is from Mysteries at the Museum, which was a great show that doesn't air anymore, unfortunately. So Santa Anna, which his name is longer than Santa Anna, but it's super long. It's kind of a fun to say. He wanted to invent a type of gum.
Oh.
And to chew on it, he had like this type of gum that he chewed on. He brought it to some patent guy or some inventor. And they're like, look, dude, you're insane. This tastes horrible. But it ended up, like, if they melted it or if they added something to it, it ended up being good enough to make rubber.
Interesting.
So this is after the Texas Revolution. So he was just kind of, like, chilling in Mexico, sulking his wounds, and then the guy just invents rubber. And I think that's all he does, really. And then that's it.
Oh, that's the end of his story. But he gave us rubber. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. So, you know, shout out Santa Ana. Sorry for making fun of you in the open. I like rubber. Anyways, shooting. This was the national championships Here's the acronym. I don't know what it is. I didn't bother looking it up because I'm a bad researcher. ACUI. Any thoughts? A's got to be American, right?
Yeah.
C's got to be collegiate.
Mm-hmm. UI.
American collegiate, and it's something about shooting. I'll let you think on that, and then I'll say. It was from March 18th to 22nd in San Antonio, Texas. This was the Collegiate Clay Target National Championships. That's not the acronym. You got to still think about the acronym. That's not it. Concordia, we sent 18 shooters.
Wow.
Placed 7th out of 14 teams in Division II, so not bad. And here's a number that didn't mean a lot to me at first, is we scored 2,740 HOA points. That was our score.
Homeowners Association points?
No, you're a wrong acronym.
Is that good?
You're
wrong. Does that mean acronym. They're happy with, nope. With our lawn?
We need you focused on the right acronym.
Okay,
right,
sorry.
Now, Kai. Goodness gracious.
Got distracted.
HOA, I did some research. It's when you add, so there's different events. So you send a shooter, they're going to shoot skeet, trap, double skeet, double trap, sporting clays, and super shooting. You combine that score and you get their HOA score. You combine all of your competitors' HOA score. You get the team's HOA score. So actually, probably one of the more, especially when you compare it to something like wrestling, definitely one of the more simple scoring systems, especially considering that your score is literally just how much you hit. Right, I think?
Yeah, and I think it's each round is 100 shots.
Yes.
So if it's like a score of 86, that means they hit 86 out of 100.
So, for example, our best shooter that we sent to San Antonio, was Sam Blevins. And his skeet score was 96. His trap score was 99. His double skeet was 90. Double trap, 93. Sporting clays must be tough because everyone's score takes a noticeable drop. He has 81 on the sporting clays, and he has 86 on the super sporting. So it's just interesting. But like you look at this trap, especially like our trap and our skeet shooting, which is like the only two that I'm super familiar with, we're like 99, 99, 92, 93, 94.
So don't cross our shooting team.
Dude, that's frightening stuff.
They're not going to miss.
You're telling me these people are walking around on campus right now? Oh my gosh. I guess we should feel safe.
Yeah, no one invade Concordia.
Nobody's invading Concordia.
You can hear shots from the top of the music building.
Yeah, so just shouting out, I'm not going to go through and say all their scores, but shouting out our best, I'll just go their name, because congratulations for making it to Nationals, right? Sam Blevins, Devin Harris, Briar Meeks, Mason Ward, Carter McKenna, Brennan Stones, Katie Welker, Bushan.
Buchanan?
Oh, yeah, that probably is Buchanan. And help me with the last name there.
Tijan.
Yeah. Kylie Hinton, Lane Schaff, Kale Washburn, Rain Larrison, Jagger Luthi?
We'll go with that.
Colby Gaines, Faith Ritchie, Ella Cohen, not that Cohen. This
different Cohen.
Cohen with a W. Hannah Dean and Gracie Schoaf. Really good showing. As I said, 18 shooters, got 7th out of 14. Who ended up winning Division II was William Penn University. So we ended up getting, our score was 27-40, right? And it's not that far off from the top score, which was 28-40. So pretty much all the teams right there were in that 100-point range.
And there's some, like, NCAA Division I schools in there.
Yeah, there are. So you've got...
Beat Alabama.
UT Southern. University of Alabama.
Beat Texas Tech.
What are we doing at Texas Tech, man?
Yeah, well, Texas people should be good at this.
What else is there to do in Lubbock? Texas Tech, University of Kentucky, NDSU? First off, why are we in the division with these guys? Why are these Division II schools? I guess it's just based on the shooters you send.
Probably.
Wow,
we're better than the South.
We're better than Alabama and Tech. Go Nebraska. We're killing it. So shout out to this shooting team. I know they probably don't get as much love as they should, but they did a really good job going against some really stiff competition. Also, okay, wait, now before we move on, what's the acronym mean? ACUI.
American Collegiate.
Yep, we got that much, so you have added nothing.
I don't know.
Just give me the U. You don't even have to get the guy. All right, how about
Upper Intelligence.
All right, ACUI.
The American Collegiate Upper Intelligence.
I like it. I'd go to that one. Talking about, I don't know how to transition that. We're moving to tennis now.
We're moving to tennis.
What did tennis do?
So, tennis has been having a lot of games recently. I'm just going to go through a couple of them since the last episode. even though we didn't talk about tennis on the last episode. But our women's team is killing it this year. They had a bit of a rough season last year, but as of right now, they are 11-2 on the season, 2-1 in the GPAC. They've been dominating teams recently. If we just look at their last 5 results, they have 4 wins, 1 loss. All 4 of the wins have been 7-0 wins. So, not for bad. Those of you not familiar with how tennis scoring works, you start off with doubles competition. So, you have 3 sets of doubles.
Yeah.
So, 6 of your competitors go against 6 of their competitors. And then, basically, 2 plays 2. Whoever, yes. And then you have 3 of those going on. Whoever wins the most out of those gets 1 point for the team. Yes. So if we have 2 of our doubles teams win, then we get the 1 singular doubles point. There's 7 total points in a tennis meet, basically, tennis match. Then after the single doubles point is decided, then it goes on to the individual competition where it's just 6 of your people versus 6 of theirs. And then each one of those counts for 1 total point.
Okay, so a lot more valuable to win these singles.
Yes, you can lose all 3 doubles matches and still just give up 1 point.
Yeah, that's kind
of
nuts.
And then just win 4 of your individual ones and you win the whole thing.
Interesting.
So, our women's tennis team, during all those 7-0 wins...
So that means all 6 individuals won and we won the doubles.
Yes.
I see.
Okay. 4 games in a row. Kansas Wesleyan, Avila, Mount Marty, and then College of St. Mary. And in those 4 games, we only lost 1 doubles game
throughout the whole thing. So our one-on-ones were undefeated in that stretch.
Undefeated.
Oh my god.
In one-on-ones. That's crazy. And then you think 12, you have 4 matches, which means you have 12 total doubles
games. Yeah.
We only lost 1 of those.
Goodness gracious, man.
Yeah, so pretty nuts. And then game yesterday on Thursday against Morningside, we ended up losing 4-3.
Wow.
In that one, we...
So the doubles decided it there.
Yes, so we won 1 and lost 2 of the doubles ones. And then we lost 3 of the 6 singles games.
So we split them on singles.
We did. And we just...
That sounds better.
Yeah, and then we barely lost on the doubles. So they go to 6 points, basically.
Yeah.
And it's a win by 2 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And both of our doubles losses... Went like an extra one.
It got
extended,
yeah.
So a bit unlucky in that one. They had a win streak of, I think, like 9 before that loss.
Pretty good.
Morningside is also the best team in the conference on the men's and women's side. So no shame in that. They almost got the win over them. I'm just going to read some of the names. Shout out some of the people who've been doing really well. Mariana Milano, Shakira Derman, Ishane Derman, Alana Lopez-Pagan, Alexa Richard, Nina Milik have all been playing a lot of tennis, getting a lot of wins so far, and yeah, they've been doing really well. Tessa Blau's also been in that rotation for doubles and singles.
Yeah,
they've been killing it. They are, like I said, 11-2 on the season, 2-1 in the GPAC. The men's team is also doing quite well, not quite as good as the women's side.
I feel like it's the same thing as our track.
Yeah,
where it's like our women are on the moon, and our men are really good, but our women are on the moon.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Yeah,
pretty much. So in that same stretch, we've only had 4 total games, but won 3 of them, lost 1. So a 6-1 win against Kansas Wesleyan, a 7-0 win against Avila, a 4-3 win against Mount Marty,
tight,
who was number 3 in the conference at the time of that game.
Mount Marty, huh?
Mm-hmm. They're a pretty good tennis program.
Is that where they're putting all their money?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah, teach his own.
And then a 4-3 loss again to Morningside, so both the men and the women taking a 4-3 loss there.
Is Morningside still, like, top dog in the men's side, too?
Yes, they're ranked 18th in the country.
Yeah, for the men?
For the men, yeah. Or
are they ranked nationally for the women?
I'm not sure of.
I'll look it up.
One of Jake Knabel's articles about the men's side and how Morningside was 18. But we have an answer.
Let's see.
We ended up winning the doubles point against Morningside. And then it was Hugo Fuentes and Nick Velders winning their singles competitions. But our other guys weren't able to quite get it done. Had some close ones in there, some not so close, but still not a bad, you know, performance against a 15-1 team in Morningside.
Yeah. Morningside for the women is actually just receiving votes. So they are outside of the top 25. Gotcha. They receive 10 votes, so they're still really good.
Mm-hmm. And then just to shout out some of the other guys who've been winning games, we got Ben Chisholm, Manuel Rodriguez, Joseph Melzer, and Michael Bedrosian. We've got Santi Abadia, and those are some of our tennis guys who have been doing really well this season, really picking up.
Keep up the good work.
Where they left off last year.
Are they in the indoor, or are they doing it outdoor now?
Their game yesterday was outdoor.
Okay. Does it change throughout the season?
It's just weather dependent.
Okay.
So if it's nice in January, they'll play outside.
Are all of the GPAC courts clay, or what's the other one?
Oh, I don't know.
Do we even differ? Because I know, like in the Wimbledon.
Oh, they've got like the grass ones.
There's clay, because it was like. Federer is like the king of clay, and then the other Spanish guy was like the king.
Nadal
is the king of the other one.
Okay, that's interesting.
I don't know. That's probably not a big point of contention in the GPAC.
Probably
tennis
not.
Meetings.
I don't think we have very nice grass tennis courts.
Yeah, the ones out there are nice.
They are nice
for being clay.
Definitely.
It's not cracked or anything. I mean, it's better than like my hometown where you break an ankle, you lose an ankle.
They tore up the ones in my hometown and put more sand volleyball in, which is fine by me because I don't play tennis.
We're doing good by that standard. Yeah. We have tennis courts.
Mm-hmm. But so next matchup for both the men and the women is going to be against Northwestern, our bitter rival this year.
Are they any good? Wait one second. Let me see.
Let's find out.
I'm seeing if they're going to be ranked. They're not ranked for the women.
Okay. And that'll be on April 5th.
Wait.
Both teams will be...
I lied. They are. Uh-oh. They're ranked.
Wait, did that say... Wait, go back down. Seven. That says Ohio.
Oh, they're not in Ohio.
They're not in Ohio.
All right, the bad guys aren't ranked.
Mm-mm.
Neither are we though. We weren't even getting votes. Are you kidding?
Hopefully that changes.
Yeah, we didn't even get votes.
Stupid.
What's up with that, dude? Shout out Kaiser.
After we beat Northwestern, we'll be getting some votes.
Oh yeah.
So
7-0 Northwestern.
After we crush them.
Yeah. Is it at their place?
Beat them into the clay. Yeah, it's gonna be at Northwestern, Orange City, Iowa. The men are going to play at 11, and then women are playing at 11 as well. So I guess they have a lot of courts.
Yeah. Well, they must have a lot of courts. It's exciting.
So good luck to the tennis team. Keep doing what you've been doing.
Keep dominating the conference.
We've got...
Laying down the law.
Yes. Keep dominating the conference. Hopefully we can get a pretty good seeding for that GPAC tournament, which will be coming up sooner than you think. Always does. But looking forward to some of our other sports, we've got the track and field team starting up pretty soon. They haven't had their first outdoor meet yet, but...
I see them running around and getting all sweaty out there, so they're practicing.
Yes, it is going on today, actually. So I guess we have kind of had our first meet. It is
okay.
The UNK Hastings College Central Nebraska Challenge.
Whoa.
At Kearney High School.
See, now that's something that should be an acronym.
The UNKHCCNC.
Even as an acronym. Yeah, we've got to rethink that, guys.
We do. Too many cooks in the kitchen here.
Too many
syllables. We got UNK, Hastings, Central Nebraska.
Can we just call it the Nebraska Challenge?
Yeah, the Central Nebraska Challenge. That would work.
That gets the point across.
Because why is it UNK?
Because we're not even in there.
UNK and Hastings playing at Kearney High School.
And we're probably the best team there, let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be real. D2 Kearney? No.
It should just be the Concordia Challenge.
It should be the Concordia Challenge.
Beat us.
They won't. They might.
Oh, they're going to beat us now.
But at Kearney High School, going on, it's just looks like a one-day meet. We'll bring you the results of that next week on the podcast. And then, looking forward to April 4th, we've got the Concordia University Nebraska Invitational. Now, that's a great name.
C-U-N-I. I. Yeah, I like that one. That's a lot better.
That one's less of a mouthful. That'll be here at Bulldog Stadium over April 4th and 5th. I think field events are going to start at 2 p.m. on April 4th, and then we'll be getting some of those running events started at 10:30 on the next day. So track and field is going to be in full swing coming up pretty soon.
Exciting time of year. A lot of stuff going on, mid-season, late season, early season for different teams. But with that, that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CUNY Sewer website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everybody at the CUNY and Sewer newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!